welcome to prayer, praise, and proclamation virtual conference here on Lamb Radio. I'm Mark David Smith, the owner of Lamb Radio, and we are well underway with our Friday morning prayers and getting ready for our very first speaker, which is Brooke Lounsbery. Sorry, every time I try to say your last name with your first name, it doesn't work for me. Hey, Brooke, how you doing?
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on. I really feel honored to be a part of this. I want to thank you so much for putting this conference together. I think this is really a good message, and I'm just really excited about this.
Awesome. And we do too. It is, it's been quite the ordeal to put together. Normally, this week, which is the last week of October, we do what's called the God Week. And, we just decided to do it this way, this year. And we think we've, got a pretty good thing going here. So, Brooke Lounsbery is the host of a show called Health Begins at Home, and it normally comes on at 9 a.m. on Friday. So she is one of the few people here on Lamb Radio that actually got to do her show during her normal time. So if you normally just tune in to Brooke's show at this time, and you're finding out that we are doing a conference this weekend, then, hey, you're doubly blessed today. So we're excited to have you get us started off here, Brooke.
Well, wonderful. I am just so excited to be here. Thank you so much. You know, I've really prayed a lot about what I was going to be talking about, and there's quite a bit to it. First of all, when you're looking at the word shalom, we always say shalom, but, you know, what does that really mean? And really, when you're looking at shalom, according to Strong's Concordance, shalom means completeness, wholeness, health, peace, welfare, safety, soundness, tranquility, prosperity, perfectness, fullness, rest, harmony, and the absence of agitation or discord. So when we when we're looking at that, we really have a lot that shows that Yah wants us to be a whole person. And that's really what I do on Health Begins at Home, is I try to bring holistic healing from Him, that He's the one that heals us. He's the one that we look to. But, you know, how do we get to that point? How do we get to shalom? How do we get to peace and to completeness and wholeness? Proverbs 18:21 says that there is life or death in the power of the tongue. Therefore, whenever you employ the word shalom, you are speaking into someone's life all the wonderful things that shalom means. So we do use that word quite a bit, but however, we for some reason, somebody's got a video, wants to show video. I don't know what's going on there, but anyway. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm getting an echo on this, so I'm going to be putting my ears down. So if you try to, you might want to chat me if you need to. part of that is what it means to be born again in a new creation. And really, when you're looking at what it means to be a new creation, it means that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. And through that, He can work in you. And you listen to God, you listen to Yahweh, and He's the one who always gives the healing. We can take supplements, we can do all of these things, but we can't do them without His leading. And that's really important to remember. And to that end, well, how do you do that? And what are the biblical principles of healing? And what can we change and what can we not change with this? Well, some of the things we cannot change is if we're male or female, our age and age group, genetics, our roles in life, son, daughter, you know, what kind of work you do. You can change that, but a lot of times, you know, we're kind of, you know, we're in our area and that's pretty much where y'all wants us. However, what the things that we can change are our attitudes, our brain, guarding our thoughts, what we think we physically become, what we meditate on, we physically become. So, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about that and how it works into praise, prayer, and proclamation. So, first of all, one of the things that I find is that in the morning when I'm praising Yahweh, when I'm before I even get up, I love to praise Him, and I love to think about what it is that He is and who He is, and to give Him, you know, front, to put Him in front of me and to lead me. I tend to be a very in control person, so that's something that I personally need to do. Psalm 68:19 says, "Blessed be Yahweh who daily bears our burden, Yah who is our salvation." And when He is our salvation, He is the one who we rely on for our. Hold on a minute here. I'm still having trouble. Okay. There we go. I keep getting an echo. I'm sorry about that. Anyway. Yeah, He's our salvation. He bears our burdens. We shouldn't be having to carry them for ourselves, and that's what we do. We tend to want to solve our problems and not lay them at His feet. This has to do with all kinds of things, our health, our finances, everything. All of it adds stress, which really brings on burden on the body. And when you're looking at that, You really want to stop and let Him be the leader of your life. The mind is a very powerful thing, and I listened to Dr. Caroline Leaf, and Caroline Leaf is a wonderful neuropsychologist, and she talks about how elastic our mind is, and that we actually create our realities through our thoughts, the physical proteins in our brain. So whatever you're meditating on, you will become. And so putting Him first and allowing Him to work through us, yes, life and death are in the power of the tongue, yes, and they that I see here on Susan had wrote, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. That's why we don't speak possessive words over someone who is ill. That is right. Very right, Susan. I saw you wrote there. So first of all, the first part of healing is to put Him first. That's kind of a little recipe, I guess. I like recipes. When we're turning to God rather than rejecting God, that boosts our immune system. And it staves off disease nearly 5 times more effectively than when we don't. Are we even surprised about that? Science also shows that worship fires the frontal lobe of the brain. They've actually, fortunately or unfortunately, we have to prove science instead of the other way around proving, you know, it's kind of funny that way how we have to do that. But they've actually been able to locate the praise and worship of our brains. And that's really pretty cool when you think about it. Another thing is, I really like Psalm 105. Give praise to Yahweh, proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done. Sing to Him, praise to Him, tell of all His wonderful acts. Glory in His name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice, or Yahweh. Look to Yahweh in His strength, seek His face always. So that really goes along with what I'm talking about. Remember the wonders of what He has done, His miracles and judgments He pronounced. That's in the morning before you even get out of bed or right as you get out of bed. Praise Him. Think about what He has done, what He's doing for you, what He's doing for your family. And in all things. Even Job was able to find, you know, blessed be he, you know, whatever you're going through, we are being refined. So the praisers and singers were the first in the battle, and Yahweh smote the enemy. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. They did. Mary was just putting in there in the chat room. If you're not on the chat room, get on. It's a great place. I'd never really tried it. I was kind of shy of the chat room when I was doing these live, but they're actually rather fun now that I've started doing them. Okay, so one of the other things is once you're doing your praise, you're doing your spending your time. You don't have to spend a whole lot of time doing this, but doing it during the day and in each instance we have a decision how we're going to live our day, and trying to keep him in front really does help. It's a mental exercise and a spiritual exercise. Now. Beyond praying, beyond praise, there's praying, and this is a huge thing. Do you even understand what it means to be born again? When the Holy Spirit is in you, and if you have not received Yeshua, this is the first place you need to start, because that is where the healing starts. We can get physically healed of things. We can take herbs and medications. But really, until our whole body is on board and is able to receive the wholeness and the shalom, the healing, we're never going to be whole. And so that's where it needs to happen first. And if you ever want information on that or anything, you can either hit the chat room, go to healthbeginsathome.com, write to me, write to get on the Messianic Morning Prayers. Do it however you want, but find somebody in your neighborhood that can talk to you about this and go from there. Now, as far as prayer goes, praying actually is an act of worship. And it goes beyond the praise. And when you're praying, they say to pray ceaselessly, you know, all day long. And Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So when you're looking to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that would be the renewing of the mind. That is the new creation, and that's what I'm talking about. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his perfect, pleasing, and perfect will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. 1 Corinthians 3:6 is, do you not know you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? And that's exactly what I'm talking about. When I talk about the temple of God, and every thought you think is a physical reality in your brain. So as you meditate and pray, those things become little proteins that become little trunks, and they become trees, and they you can either keep adding to that and adding a network that's actually physically changing your body, or you can, if you have negative thoughts, it actually breaks away and shrinks those trees, those little neurons going on. So, you know, think about that as you're, guarding your thoughts, guarding your words, guarding your actions. And a lot of times words don't even need to be spoken. It's a body language. A lot of body language is really how we communicate. And, being present in the moment for the person that is near you, or even away, smiling, even if you don't want to smile, it actually brings on feel-good chemicals. And yes, Mary said he spoke the world into creation and formed us with his hands. So he is the creator. He is the one that gives us our information that we need. For keeping going in this world. He's the one, he's the only thing. He's the one who made us. We are made in his image. So, let's see, what else do I have here? Oh, you know, I wanted to talk about this. Before I do that, I wanted to read John 14:13. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to my Father. We are his hands, and we are born again to heal. So think about that. We are his hands. We are born again to heal. And so healing words, you don't have to be a healer. Everybody's a natural healer. One of the things that they have noted, that the science has found, and I'm not surprised, I don't think you are either, is that fear is generational. It can be inherited from mother to child. And I would think that that would also mean that, that love and peace and shalom could be too. But they, of course, the science community only shows the fear side. So anyway, so I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, let's go back here to looking at, let's go through this list. When we change our attitudes, we change what we do. Yes, it actually causes the liver. Yes, Donna wrote, I heard a teacher once say that laughter causes the liver to cleanse. I hadn't heard that, but laughter is a good medicine. So, keeping laughing, keeping a positive attitude, and keeping close to God is really important. Music and energy actually helps your stomach. And I talk a lot about probiotics. It's become the kind of the buzzword now, but let me talk a little bit about that. They talk about a gut feeling, and the gut actually houses the feel-good chemicals of your body. And in order to have that, praise and worship brings down those cortisol levels. We can focus. We can increase our immune system. And when we do that, it actually helps those good bacteria in our stomach. We have between 500 and 1,000 beneficial bacteria, different species they've been able to find in our stomach alone, let alone the entire lining of the intestine. And each part of that has its own miraculous ability to heal and to communicate with the brain. They're finding out that these bacteria communicate. There's two brains. There's one down in the stomach in the area, and it travels by the vagus nerve up and down. It's got a little highway going up and down between the brain and the gut. So whatever you think, whatever you meditate on, will actually affect the rest of your body and vice versa. And these feel-good chemicals are the same ones as benzodiazepine class of drugs, like Valium and Xanax, without the addictive qualities. So I thought that was pretty neat. And let's see, what else? There's also serotonin. Almost all your serotonin is made in your gut. Your immune system is there. And it isn't just what you take in your body. It's sitting down, taking time, taking some deep breaths, and just focusing on him and his word and just relaxing. Because when you do that, your body will accept the food better than just shoving food in your mouth. We've become a society of just taking pills. So we think we'll take a supplement, and really everything we need, unless, you know, if you're in the throes of some sort of disease state, is really found in the earth and in the foods we eat and in our relationships. And social isolation is a killer. And please do not forsake your fellowship with your congregation or your families, because they're finding out that that actually is a real killer. So social isolation is one of those things that can happen really easily, and it actually blesses both you and the person that you're with, that you visit. You know, visiting shut-ins, visiting people, they don't necessarily have to be somebody that's a believer. In fact, going out into your community and just getting to know people, not being afraid of things, not being afraid of people that you don't know or that are different than you. That's where the fear comes in, trying to understand each other. Now, another thing too is when we proclaim, when we're proclaiming what we believe, we're actually putting that into action. And for me, that to me is probably the most important thing, is we can talk about it, but just like any Hebrew, doing is understanding. And until you do this, you won't understand to the full extent that that you need, that needs to be done. We aren't saved by our works, but we're definitely blessed by what we can do for others, and also allow people to help you if you're in need. They were talking a lot just right before the and when we finished up our prayer. They were talking about somebody who had attempted suicide, and my son actually had completed it. And I kept wondering why. And it had to do with pain. And what they were looking for is the relief away from pain. So if you know anybody who is in that state, tell them, I don't know where you're at, but let's try to move you out of that pain, and let's help you towards feeling better. And you can start with helping with the Bible. The Bible, the Word, is all life. And even if they're not believers, this is something that is near and dear to my heart. And I believe that we need to be doing more of this and to stigmatize mental illness. Another thing, too, that's kind of interesting about mental illness that I really do not want to make light of is the stigma of mental illness. And really, we all are mentally ill to some way or another. We actually can, they have proven that different things like schizophrenia and that kind of thing can be solved with diet and with our praise and worship. So, you know, along with whatever the doctor is doing. But we can do that. So as far as shalom goes, when we're looking at wholeness, we look at the physical, emotional, and spiritual side of things. And when you're looking at the physical, that's what we think about a lot when we're looking at wholeness and wellness. And the physical is important, but the Bible talks about really working on our spiritual life before we even do that. But I will start with the physical. And what the body needs is a diet, exercise, and social contact with people, and a right to be respected and to be loved. We all have a need for love. God is love, and that is one of the things that we're missing in our lives is knowing that there is that love. And you'll only get it through, people will always bring you down, or they will not measure up, but God will always be there for you. Now, as far as and physical, you're looking at things like even mild exercise will help, getting up out of your chair, moving around, doing some back bends. I do have on my site home care tips of the week, and there's a lot of people with back pain and learning how to take care of that, because that can cause problems with sleeping. And if you're not sleeping, you don't think straight. It's all a domino effect, really, of when your one part of your body is out of whack, the other parts are too. So to that end, going into the emotional, I've touched on it a little bit, but really the emotional part in this fallen world that we're in, and with everything around us, like I've talked about on my show before, I understand medication to a point, and I understand people do need to be on these medications at some point, and you know they may need to be. But there is life in the Word, and you, like I've said before, you have those feel-good chemicals that can come about, eating a good diet, eating what God has told us we can and cannot eat, eating together, that keeps your, that increases your immune system, drops your cortisol levels. When you eat together, it's really a very spiritual experience, having a meal with somebody. Making food together, laughing, playing, to guard your brain against what's going on the television, the news. Do we really need to know why the stock market is up or down every day? Do you know that I had heard that like 50 years ago, I don't even do the stock market, but 50 years ago or something, or 100 years ago, I don't know, whenever the stock market started, they only did this once a year. And when they, or once a month, they would only report it. Now it's reported daily. We are getting overstimulated with the news. We are getting overstimulated with our Wi-Fis, and that kind of thing. So in order to be, to proclaim and praise in prayer, guarding your eyes and guarding your brain against those things, and just keeping focused on God and on praying and praising Him during the day, proclaiming Him, proclaiming dominion over what's going on in your life, those kind of things are really what's important. And that's going to lead to wholeness and health. Other things too is looking at your family, taking time with your family, making sure that each person feels valued, starting back up dinners at home, or at least one meal a day that you sit down and spend time with your family. That is really important too. Whoever your family is, or even if it's just you, making the time, having time with people. We're in this McDonald's society where we don't take time. Yeshua, he took a lot of time with people. He was out there, you know, we look at what would Yeshua do? What would Yeshua eat? And when we look at that, we can focus on, and we have those the Torah to look at. We can focus on our lives a little better, and He knows what's best for us. Now, is physical, emotional, spiritual is very important. Spiritual is probably always at the very top, and when we're looking at shalom and wholeness, well-being and harmony, that should be at the top of it. And so I'm going to read Luke 2:8 to you. Yeshua called for shalom and peace, and this describes the ministry and personality of our Messiah, and we should be trying to be more like Messiah. At this time, shepherds were there in that region, this is Luke 2:8, that were lodging and keeping watch there at night their flocks. And behold, a messenger of Elohim came to them, and the glory of Yahweh shone upon them, and they feared Him with great fear. And the messenger said, "Do not have fear, for behold, I announce hope to you, a great joy which will be to the whole world." And to this, let's see, I lost it there. "And for today is born to you the in the city of David, the Savior, who is Master Yahweh, the Mashiach. And this is a sign to you that you will find an infant who is wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And at that instant, a great host of heaven appeared with an angel, glorifying Elohim and saying, "Glory to Elohim in the highest." And here we go. "And on earth, peace and good hope to the sons of men." And that is what He was put here for, was for hope and for peace. And He is the love. He is already, we already know, Yah is love. And so when you're looking at how you can live your life in order and in praise and prayer and proclaiming Him, these things will lead to a fulfilled life. A more fulfilled life than you can ever imagine. So, you know, past that, I just want to say that there is so much pain in the world. And this world is temporary. And how we decide we're going to live our lives really is the quality. We can make decisions, but do we follow through with them? Are these things that are important? And in returning and rest, you shall be saved, and quietness and comfort shall be your strength. Isaiah 30:15. Amen. Secret place 007. Thank you. But when we're looking at wholeness in life, it all starts with Him. And when you're looking at where do you start? Like I said, in the mornings, what I do is I'll just start with praise. And then I get up and I pray and I ask Yahweh, what is it you want from me? What are you looking for from me today? Or maybe not looking for me. Am I putting myself ahead of you? And putting that in order, I did a 21-day, what they called the brain detox, from Dr. Caroline Leaf. And she is excellent on helping you sort these things out. And when I was doing this, she had you do these exercises where you would put down whatever she called them toxic thoughts, and you would turn that thought around by something else. She said, make a proclamation of what you want to do to make this thought start to disappear, or this. What you believe or perceive as reality to disappear. And what happens when you're doing that is that the negative thought that actually is ruining and unstructuring your brain, you start to restructure your brain and the branches start to grow out. And it's amazing what it can do. So that's one of the things I started doing, and I started proclaiming and doing this all day long, and even to the point where I had a little notebook, and every time I had something, I would write it in there. And I did this for several weeks, and I found that there was so much that was that happened in my life, that the order came into being, the sense of calm started to happen, that He was in control. I didn't have to be in control. Letting go of that control can be very hard. Anyway, so that's pretty much for me what has helped me. Now you have to remember, He's the one who, as long as we're in His will, He's going to allow us to help and heal people. It's when we step out of His will that we have this problem. When we're looking at holistic health care, and when Yah talks about having every herb I've actually got to get that up because I didn't get it up at the time, about bringing every seed-bearing herb, it's really interesting when you look at what He has at different seasons in different localities. Here's an example. Watermelon is high in potassium. And watermelon, when you're sweating in the sun, you need that sodium and potassium, which the watermelon has. In the winter, your immune system is down, and you might be eating things like carrots or cabbage, the cooler vegetables. Those are high in vitamin C and your sulfur compounds. Berries are high in antioxidants, and you need those, especially in the sun or if you're under stress. It's just amazing how He actually has put these things here, and we're able to use them to help bring about our bring about health in our lives. Now, as far as children go, and if you're able to homeschool, that's wonderful. If not, to say prayer for your children before you send them off in the morning. Give them a prayer of protection before you send them off, even your family and even yourself, to keep Him at front whenever you're in that mode. So anyway, now as far as emotional, more on, let's see what else do I have here. Let's see. I have all these notes, and I just kind of have them. They're kind of on different pieces of paper here. So let's go to Proverbs 4:22. And for they are life, let me bring this one up here. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's body. And that's Proverbs 4:22. And let's go back to Proverbs 4:20. And Proverbs 4:20. Hold on a minute. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. So listening to his words is important. And just a minute. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their body. So in Proverbs 3:21, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. And, you know, when we're doing that, when we're looking, preserve sound judgment and discretion. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. And you will live, guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. And so when you're looking at that, he tells us to go back to the commands, and what does he want from us? What does he require from us? And that's what we should be going through every day. And that's really the basis of holistic health, is to keep going back and seeking him and really pointing back to him, back to him, back to him. And casting down imaginations and every high thing that exacts itself against the knowledge of Elohim, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Messiah. Absolutely. Amen to that. The more we do that, the more we are going to be able to have that health and holistic health that I talk about. Leading ourselves into, you know, listen to the Lord's Prayer. That's a really good one. Lead us not into temptations. Thoughts about 75 to 95% of illnesses that plague us are a direct result of our thought life. What we think affects us physically and emotionally, and it's an epidemic of toxic emotions. Here's some interesting thoughts. When I was talking about this program that I went through with Dr. Caroline Leaf, the average person has over 30 thoughts a day. I didn't know my brain could hold that many. Through an uncontrolled thought life, we create the condition for illness. We make ourselves sick. Research shows that fear, all on its own, triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones. There are intellectual and medical reasons to forgive. You can forgive yourself to wellness, because really the person, think about this, the person that has offended you normally really is not the one suffering. They really may not even be aware of it. It's actually you that are getting all the bad hormones, the adrenaline and all that other stuff that's just eating your heart up. And to forgive actually is a release for you. It's a gift that you give yourself to forgive, to seek out the things in your heart, because those things that you don't forgive yourself for will actually come back later and into chronic illnesses. And even though you do not have your genetics, your DNA, you may have a problem with being prone towards something like multiple sclerosis or an autoimmune disorder or cancer, but those genes may or may not be switched on or off according to how you live your life. And one of the biggest things is forgiveness. And to allow yourself the opportunity to take back the shalom, the wholeness, the peace that God has. Only Yahweh has that. So there's talks. I'm going to read off of Dr. Caroline Leaf's site because I really think this is important. Toxic waste generated by toxic thought causes the following illnesses: diabetes, cancer, asthma, skin problems, and allergies. And now most of these, they're even finding out that diabetes could even be an autoimmune disorder. So consciously control your thought life and start to, what she calls, detox your brain. So taking these thoughts into captivity, and do not be anxious for anything, for we think on these things, we have the peace of Yah upon us. So start to go through and do it. If you're having, and I'm not saying that you're going to find the root cause of your illness in forgiving and getting your spiritual life in order. However, you will heal and you will have more wholeness and shalom and peace when you do that. And so when we're looking at praise and prayer, we seek out those little recesses of our soul, and we listen. We have one mouth and two ears. So we should be listening to Him twice as much as we should be talking. Now, I'm going to go on and read. Medical research increasingly points to the fact that thinking and consciously controlling your thought life is one of the best ways, if not the very best way, of detoxing your brain. Let's see. It allows you to get rid of these toxic thoughts and emotions that can consume and control your mind. Change in your thinking is essential to detox your brain. Now, it sounds so easy to do, but I think the rule of thumb of counting to 10 before we open our mouth and thinking about what is it that we really want. Do we want to win the argument, or do we want to win over the person? And sometimes just letting things go, what is really important and not important in life, is, you know, stepping back and taking personal inventory for that. Is this something Yeshua would say? If it's not, maybe we shouldn't be saying it. And trying to figure out why we feel the way we do, because a lot of times it goes back to something that really has nothing to do with that person. And so when you're, you know, this is all very, you know, this very sounds, it might sound like psychobabble, but actually it's a physical component. It ends up manifesting in your life physically with your relationships, with your healing or not healing, with activating your immune response, staying close to Him, praying and listening to what He has for you. Sometimes you don't think you're hearing Him, but He does hear you. He's just, I just went through a period of time where I kept wondering, when are things going to change? When are things going to change? And really, it's when I finally gave up that thought and trying to control it, the situation, that finally things kind of fell through and came through. And anyway, let's go on and talk more about this. Medical research increasingly points to the fact that thinking and consciously controlling your thought life is one of the best ways. I already said that it allows you to get rid of those toxic thoughts. Now, she calls them toxic thoughts because they actually break down the little neuron branches that are reaching out and trying to connect together and make you whole and healthy. And in order to get those back, you can. Your brain is very elastic. You can learn. They used to think you can't teach old dogs new tricks. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You certainly can. What happens, though, is that we get into habits and we don't continue to want to learn, or we think we know it all. Always be teachable. Always be humble. Always have your mind open to those things. I remember, this is kind of off topic, but I remember I was a little afraid of energy medicine, but it had been because the New Age had hijacked the always vibrations of Him speaking the world into existence. And when you think of that, there's a lot to it. You know, just think about that. So she goes on and says, how do you go about changing your thought life, not letting things rampage through your mind? You learn to engage interactively with every single thought that you have and analyze it before you decide either to accept or reject it. Because just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's real. And we should not give credence to our thoughts as much as we think we should. A lot of them aren't really even valid. So here's some examples she has. The how many could have, would have, should have statements you have made today. How many if onlys were part of your inner vocabulary today. How many times you have replayed in your head a conversation or situation that pained you, or that one that hadn't even occurred yet. That's a big one for people, the what ifs. What if, what if, what if. How passive is your mind? How much speculation taking out of your day? Now, you know, you're speculating on what they're going to do, what's going to happen, that kind of thing. Are you at a cross purposes with yourself, going through motions, but not really committed to the goal, saying one thing but meaning another? How distorted is your thinking when you're not in the Holy Spirit? And you're not listening to him. Actually, your thinking is going to be completely off. Are you forming a personal identity around, for example, you know, owning a disease? Do you talk about my arthritis, my multiple sclerosis, my heart problem? Don't own those things. Those are just a condition that you're in at the time. I just recently had the honor to speak to Susan and Robert Oliphant. She had some growths on her pancreas and on her liver, and they told her to go home. It was strangulating her bile duct, to go home and die. And she was not a very spiritual person. Her husband is a Christian. And so she went and bought 25 pounds of cards, of going away cards. It's actually, she was interviewed on Ty Bollinger's Cancer, a Global Quest, a 9-day thing he did. Just recently. And so I interviewed him. And what happened was, she said that her spiritual life became very important in praying and praying for people. And she was able to see divine appointments all the way. And so she didn't own this. It became something that was not a death sentence. And she sought guidance. Her husband sought guidance through prayer. And now she is what she believes has beat cancer, and allowing her body, she says that it wasn't just about the food, even though that was very important, but the holistic part of learning to slow down, learning to be more in the present, learning to reach out to people, not self-isolating, and also learning joy and learning what that means in Yahweh. So, and do you ever make comments like, nothing ever goes right for me, everything I touch fails, I always mess up? Please, those are lies from the pit of hell. Do not allow those in you. So, anyway, Dr. Caroline Leaf has some wonderful, wonderful thoughts on all of this. She also talks about, you know, restructuring your brain. Let's see, there was also one, you know, it all goes back to what your mind is what you become, really. And how prayer affects the brain, this is a very important one. We all could be, you know, I love Messianic morning prayers. I don't participate much in it. I look at it and I listen when I'm awake. I'm on the West Coast and a lot of times I'm not quite awake by then, but I love it. Prayer keeps our hearts and minds in Yeshua, Philippians 4:7. It has been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brains to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. This type of prayer seems to increase activity in the brain areas associated with social interaction, compassion, and sensitivity to others. It also increases frontal lobe activity as focus and intentionality increase. As well as changing the brain, another study implies that intentional prayer can even change physical matter. Are we even surprised? Researchers found that intentional light, a thought for 30 seconds could affect laser light. Therefore, even toxic thought can cause brain damage, Prayer can reduce that damage, reverse that damage, and cause the brain and body to thrive. And there's growing interest in the power of prayer to change our brain and even matter itself. And we know that as one in Messiah, we know that. And so, you know, we're really blessed to have that and to know that, that to not be passive. And to understand that we are really, and you know, we are the ones making the decisions for life and death in our lives. So, you know, another thing too is talking about how, you know, we relate to each other and, you know, how we laying on hands and that kind of thing. Touch is very important in how we touch. Many people do not have that in their lives, that actually you get alone just picking up an animal can release neurochemicals in your brain, you know, the feel-good chemicals. It releases tension, but activates it activates all kinds of chemicals in your body to make you feel better and to relax. So we're really designed for relationships and to not forsake that. That's very important that we need to do that. Oh, and Don says, focusing on prayer with Messianic morning prayers, being healed. Yes. It's quite early, but worth it. I don't even know what that's about, huh? I'm talking and this whole lamb chat thing has got me kind of thrown off. So I'd like to be able to be on it more, but I really have to learn how to multifunction, I guess. So anyway, but really what I would like to say in closing is that having a connection with Yahweh, that the word shalom, having that wholeness, he is the holistic physician. By using the word shalom, the Prince of Peace is one that will give you that shalom, and it's on many, many levels. It's a complete peace, contentment, completeness, wholeness, well-being, and harmony. And when you have those, a disease doesn't have any place in your body. It won't be able to grow anywhere because you are whole within Him. And, you know, putting our trust in those things that matter and for people. That's about, you know, I just really now for proclaiming, we all need to do more of that. Music is a good way to do that. Music is a form of worship, and I think we sometimes we forget about that. Oh, you know, here's something, too, they talk about that's really important is having control over your brain fitness, they call it. Because as we, you know, they say, oh, as you age, you get older. Well, you know what? We are a new creation. Every time we wake up, they have found out that our state of mind is what influences our overall mental and physical health. It's not set or fixed in childhood or declined from the age of 25. It was a very incorrect view of the brain, and when you adopt a lifestyle of mental focus, you switch on what they call the nerve plasticity in your brain. It's a bunch of networks that will increase your intelligence, and even people with severe trauma to the brain, when they move to it, they can actually become whole and healthy the more they focus on this. And they talk about this on Dr. Caroline Leaf. So I'm just really blessed to be with her and to understand where she's coming from. Now, what we think influences every aspect of who we are and how we think physically. And you are wired for health. And your thoughts will encompass your beliefs and your feelings. So as you think, you become. So don't ever, God made us in His image, Genesis 1:26, with a sound mind and operates in love and power, Timothy 1:7, 2 Timothy. Science proves we are wired for love. And that makes sense because Yahweh is love. So anyway, I think that you are what you eat. Yes, absolutely. And how you eat it, Susan. She writes, also, you are what you eat and you are what you think. Absolutely. So, yes, and listen to more music. Thank you, Yahweh. So, anyway, I'm waiting for somebody to come on and tell me that I'm off.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
You're off. You're off.
We're kicking you out.
One of the things that happened was I'm having reverberation in my headphones, and I could hear everything about 2 seconds later.
You probably have a player open in the background listening to Lamb, and you're getting it twice.
Oh, so. I probably do. I did.
That's the reason. But it was perfectly clear on our end.
There, that solved it. Well, you know what, Brooke, what you have talked about this hour is so messianic morning prayers. Everything that you've talked about is something that has truly just opened the windows and the doors of understanding in regards to why we have messianic morning prayers, why we need to be in prayer and praise and proclamation. And, you know, whenever you get a chance, maybe in the update that, you know, where you have your health tip in our Lamb Radio update, give us a link to Carolyn Leaf and her brain detox information. That was powerful stuff, and I'm so glad that you are taking part with that and able to share that with us.
She is amazing. Dr. Carolyn Leaf has, she's a Christian neuropsychologist, or not psychologist, I don't know what she calls herself. And I'll tell you, she is actually, I went through what she called the 20, you really don't need to do it, I could tell you what it is, the 21-day detox. And if anybody ever wanted to do that, just, I'm going to go ahead and paste that in the chat room, her blog right there, and send it to you. Yes, you might want to go on her site. The 21-day detox is about, you know, just what I said. You pray, and you would exchange. You take a piece of paper, and she has little forms, but I could actually walk people through it.
Excellent.
And it really helped me to achieve getting out of those negative thoughts and negative thought patterns and focusing on wellness. And it's not just, I mean, it's a very, she talks about it, it's a physical thing that happens in your brain. And yeah.
Especially so I'll definitely in the frontal lobe, wasn't it? Is that what you were talking about? Mm-hmm. Was like in the frontal lobe. That was very, to me, so exciting and interesting. You know, considering all these years, you know, you've heard of these mental institutions where they have done these lobectomies and things like that, and they are literally robbing people of being able to have shalom. You know, oh my goodness, that is just something else. So,
you know, it's amazing between that and, yes, definitely what you eat. One of the things about, you know, you talk about the mental illness and things and schizophrenia. They figure about 30% of schizophrenia is bromide toxicity. And that's found in everything we have. It's in our, I mean, in everything. They actually did a huge study. And they found out they were on 15 different drugs, and they were resistant to treatment at a mental hospital. And they put them on a bromide-free diet. And I think, they had a complete remission in about 30-something percent and a dramatic results in over 60% of symptoms going away. And so, you know, we are doing all this stuff, all this non-natural stuff to our bodies. And, you know, I it just breaks my heart. And not understanding and fearing what we don't know, and the stigma of, you know, like, you know, depression and people talking about, you know, snapping out of it. Well, the less you want to do something, the more you really should be doing it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't really feel like going on a walk. Well, you better do it.
That's true. So, Brooke, before we head off here, what is your website so that we can keep in touch with you too?
It is healthbeginsathome.com. And if anybody wants to talk to me about the switch brain on your brain, I can 21-day detox talks. I can kind of give them the basics of it, and but they may want to just sign up for her. She had wonderful little videos every day you can watch and everything. It was very good.
Hey, so. I can attest to this. I did it. She came on Skype with me and Nitsa one day, and we walked through it. She sent it to me. It works. I was doing about 21 prescription meds a day. I am now down to 3.
See, there you go.
Praise Yahweh. Praise Yahweh.
It works.
It does, but you have to have responsibility for your life.
Right.
And I'm so glad to hear that. Congratulations you, Mark. And it's a commitment.
It is.
We didn't get 100%. Sick overnight.
That's right. That's right. All right. You can hear Brooke every Friday morning at 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. She has her show, Health Begins at Home. Thanks, Brooke. We appreciate your being on. That was a great message.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for letting me be on. Shalom.
Anytime. All the time.